Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mary dear, I heard you were in charge of the entertainment portion of the Teddy Awards show this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have helped you out. I used to do a wonderfully artistic dance at private parties, but unfortunately, I don't have my costume anymore.
Oh?
Her snake died.
He died happy.
Mills Wielander attempted to harass me repeatedly. What do you mean he attempted to? He worked at Lars Erickson's drugstore and tackle shop. He was a soda jerk. Now that I think about it, he was a town jerk. Every Saturday afternoon, I go in and have a sundae. Well, Mills would arrange the ice cream scoops in an obscene way. I could never prove it because by the time I would take it home to show my father... Melted.
Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, how are you, Dick?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Just great. Thank you.
You know, I have to start off by saying your incredible career has spanned over 7 decades. Television, radio, the movies, you're an author. You know, what is left? What haven't you done?
Well, my answer to that has always been Robert Redford, but I still haven't.
You know, I think there's still time. I think there's still time for that.
I don't think he would find me that appealing.
Oh,
at 90, you know.
Oh, you know, America loves you. I can't imagine that Robert would feel any different. You know, I'm going to start with something that I don't believe too many people know about and have heard before. Your first role was in a play called Land of the Rising Sun.
Yes, it was in grammar school, and I wrote the play. We were studying Japan, and I wrote the play, and of course, as any, you know, self-respecting playwright would do, I wrote myself into the lead.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And that was the launch. That was it. That's what started it all.
Well, I had always wanted to be a writer before that, but once I got on stage and once I checked out that audience, that changed my whole perspective. I thought, oh, this is fun.
That's great. And you know what? Usually, you know, Betty, when you talk about somebody that's got a lifelong career in all these different mediums, you know, you always say, well, they started in radio. But really, back in 1939, you actually first appeared on television.
Yes, it was an experimental thing. I was in high school, and they had a thing downtown, an experimental demonstration of television on the top floor of an automobile dealer.
Wow.
So we did The Merry Widow, the leading man in the graduation play, and I did The Merry Widow on the fifth floor of the Packard showroom, and the audience, there was one small television set down on the main floor among all the cars.
That you probably had to scrouch down to look into, right?
Yeah, well, my parents and the parents of Harry Bennett, who was the student body president that I played opposite, had to go down there and stand among the cars and watch this little 10-inch screen.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And then you actually, in the 40s, you did some radio, and then you broke into television again, and you did a morning show, which, you know, Hollywood on Television, which I have to imagine prepared you for anything.
Well, we were on 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Whoa.
For 4 years with no script, no nothing, whatever happened, and... But it was like going to television college, really.
I bet.
It was a wonderful experience.
And then, you know, being you were the co-creator, the producer and star of the sitcom Life with Elizabeth, another pioneering moment for a woman in television, which is incredible.
But we didn't know any better then. We, you know, it was years later that the woman's movement came through, so everybody said, well, weren't you amazed at being a woman producer? And said, we never thought gender. We just, if the job was there to be done, we did.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. And I think that was your first Emmy nomination as well, was back then in 1951.
Yep.
Amazing. And then you did a daily talk show. You did another sitcom, Date with Angels. And then we really got to know you in the 1960s with the being the queen of game shows on Password.
Oh, it was such fun. I wasn't the queen of game shows, but I loved game shows.
And that's where you met your beloved husband.
Yep, on Password.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, what would he say to all your success now after all these years of 90 years, 70 years of show business? What would he say to that right now?
Can you believe it? At age 90, I'm still not only working, but working steadily in a successful show. Who would have dreamed that could happen?
And you're still getting tons of offers. Well,
for
roles. Though.
I know it, and I'm the luckiest old broad on 2 feet, believe me.
But then you broke out. I mean, you know, people know you best, of course, as Sue Ann Nivens on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rose Nylund on the Golden Girls. And for both these shows, you know, very similarly to Hot in Cleveland, you know, one show you were only going to make one single guest appearance, and the other one you were almost cast as another character.
Yes, on Golden Girls, they called me in to play Blanche, and that was Rue McClanahan. And Jay Sandrich had directed most of the Mary Tyler Moore shows, and Jay directed our pilot of the Golden Girls. And it was Jay's wisdom that said, if Betty plays this man-hungry Blanche, the neighborhood nymphomaniac, after doing, you know, the same part.
Sure, Sue Ann.
Sue Ann on Mary, they're going to think she's doing the same gig. So it was his bright idea to have me play Rose, and I'm eternally grateful. In fact, we had dinner last week, and we're still very, Jay and his wife and I are still very, very close. And so we were laughing about it all these years later. We were saying, if he had let me play Blanche, my career could have ended right there.
Well, it gave you probably some new challenges, too, new opportunities for a different type of role. So that must have been exciting, too.
Absolutely, and it made me stretch a little, you know.
Sure. And you know what's funny about going back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you know, you were only going to be on one or two episodes. It wasn't really going to be a long-term thing. And that's really what happened to you with Hot in Cleveland playing Elka.
Oh, well, I had it in my contract. I agreed to do the pilot, providing I would not be obligated if the pilot got picked up. Well, first of all, you do a lot of pilots that never see the light of day.
Sure.
And then, secondly, I just didn't have time. I wasn't being snobby. I just didn't. The schedule was too full, so I thought I didn't want to find myself contracting to do something that there's no time for.
Sure. What changed your mind? What made a difference?
Well, you do so many pilots that don't get picked up. We were picked up in 3 weeks. Sometimes you'll do a pilot and you don't find out till months later whether they're going to do it or not. We got picked up in 3 weeks, and by that time, I had done the pilot with Valerie Bertinelli and Wendy Malick and Jane Leaves, and we all just fell in love with each other to the point of having such a good time that when it came around to getting picked up and they came to me and asked if I would do some more, I said, but that wasn't the arrangement. Well, I have the backbone of a jellyfish, and they kept saying, well, what if you only work this? What if you only do this? So, I said, well, I'd do a couple more. I've done every one of them.
Well, you seem like you're having a great time doing it.
I am having the time of my life. You couldn't ask for a happier set.